It is true.
That is the message I bring to Earth's millions tonight. It is true. The unbelievable has happened. The inconceivable is reality. Life has reached out to life across the stars and spoken with a recognizable human tongue.
Frame of Deference by Rod Beecham.
Friend, the strange object that appeared without warning on the far side of the moon 3.5 weeks ago has been successfully recovered, subjected to rigorous scientific analysis, and proved beyond doubt to be of extraterrestrial origin. But if I say to you that this fact in itself is no more than a prelude to the significance of our unearthly visitor, that its contents hint at an event so astonishing, so incredible and inspiring, that it makes the notion of intergalactic travel itself pale into mundanity, then, my friends, you may begin to guess at the truly staggering nature of the message it contains. Friends, before I reveal that message to you, I would like you to bear with me while I set the scene for your appreciation of its full significance. To come, patiently and attentively, back with me in time, back 5 years to January 1983, and the precise instant when triumph turned into tragedy.
Mother calling to womb 7. Earth mother calling to womb 7. Billy, we have you in picture. You're looking good. You're looking great. You're looking A number one, okay.
Listen, you guys.
Stand by to fire retro rockets in 1 minute.
Listen, I don't feel so good.
Take it easy, Billy boy.
I feel terrible, you know, Charlie.
Everything's fine. Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about a thing.
What's wrong up there?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong. He's fine. You're fine, aren't you, Billy boy?
Oh.
He's fine. Okay. 20 seconds to firing. Commence countdown. Now.
I really don't feel so good, Charlie.
19, 18, 17.
Charlie!
Hang 16, on in there, Billy. Hang on in there. Just 14, keep your finger on that precious button.
13, 12, 11.
Oh, God!
10, we're all with you. You know 9, that, don't you, kid? We've all 8, got our arms around.
7, oh, God, I think I'm dying. 6,
Billy.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Christ.
What?
He didn't press it.
Jeez.
Billy, press the button. Press the button, Billy boy. Billy, will you press it?
He pressed it 7 seconds late.
He'll be okay.
He goddamn better be.
Billy, can you hear me?
Oh, God. Oh, God, Mama.
Billy, you're all right. We have you in picture. You're looking good. You're looking great. You're looking wonderful. You're looking A number one.
What is it?
I think we lost him.
Oh, no.
Come in, Womb 7. Come in, Womb 7. This is Earth Mother calling Womb 7.
Oh, no.
Do you read me, Womb 7? This is Earth Mother. Do you read me? Billy boy, talk to me. He's gone.
5 years and pensive. Millions of dollars, and he can't even press one lousy little button.
Poor little bastard.
Screw him. That's X-billion bucks worth of hardware. He just flushed down the great lavatory pan of space.
Drifting about out there all alone.
Never mind him. He's lucky. He doesn't have to face the old man. Geez, the Pinkos have been screaming for our asses as it is. After this, we'll be lucky if they allocate us enough to send up a weather balloon.
Hello, Earth Mother. This is the world. The world is waiting for a statement from you. There's a nasty rumor going round. We need reassurance. We need comfort.
Oh, hell.
Want me to talk to him?
Hell no. I'll do it.
This is the world, Earth Mother. We are waiting anxiously, prayerfully, hopefully, expectantly for whatever you have to say to us.
Where do they find these people? Citizens of America, citizens of the world, Mr. President. It is not often that a cruel fate thrusts onto the shoulders of one man the awesome responsibility of breaking to an anxious planet news of such tragic, such heart-rending dimensions as will unite all peoples in a common, or perhaps I should say an uncommon, grief. A few moments ago, fate placed just such a responsibility upon my shoulders. William Makepeace Service was, and for the moment at least still is, a very brave young American, reared in the finest traditions of duty and dedication to the common good. His name indeed says it all about his character. For service was William Makepeace's life. Now, as you know, he was picked from the very cream of his generation a journey to the very edge of our solar system, to look out from the last frontier of the half-known into the great, awesome face of the totally unknown. That was his mission, and he carried it out with expertise and with courage. But then came the moment for return, the moment to fire the retro rocket that would turn the nose of Womb 7 away from the blind face of infinity, gaze once more upon the green hills of home. And it was at this moment that tragedy, always hovering in the wings at such times, decided to step into the spotlight. For William Service was not only a brave young man, a loyal American, and a devoted servant of all mankind, he was also a human being. And human beings, Mr. President, are liable to error. William Service erred at the most crucial moment of his life. And who are we to judge him now, for he has paid a terrible price for that error. The rockets that should have brought him back like a wandering but beloved child to the broad bosom of Mother Earth have instead propelled him out over the very edge of the solar system to drift forever among the distant stars.
Oh, God, for Christ's sake, sorry.
Now, there will be some among you, I name no names, Mr. President, you know who I mean, who will say that we should take this as a sign, a warning not to continue the great adventure, who will raise shrill voices in a demand that we abandon the conquest of outer space. To those people, I would say just one thing. No great step, no real meaningful achievement in the history of mankind has ever come about without initial failure and great personal sacrifice. William Service must not have died in vain. His failure must be a springboard from which we must follow him on his journey to immortality. Now let me end by saying just this. We can no longer hear William Service, but there is every possibility that he can hear us. I know that he would want to know that our thoughts, our prayers, our love go with him at this time. And what better way can we demonstrate the universality of that love than by falling to our collective knees and saying together the Lord's Prayer. People of the world, let's hear it for Billy Boy. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy
kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver.
That's it. Yep. That's it. How about that Mr. Phillips, though? All those nice things after the way I let him down. I guess if a man's really big, he's big all the way through. All his troubles is because I got sick for a minute or two. I guess there's a moral there somewhere, though I can't quite see it at the moment. Thing is, what do I do now? I mean, I have all these supplies that were supposed to get me back to Earth. Strictly speaking, unless I run into a meteor or something, I could stay up here for 6 months, just going and going. Maybe I should take a sleeping pill, switch off the life support systems, and go to sleep and not wake up. I guess that'd be a pretty cowardly thing to do. On the other hand, I could see it would be a pretty noble thing to do, kind of Roman. Nuts. Now, how can you decide whether a thing's noble or whether it's cowardly if there's no one around to tell you? I'm not equipped for that sort of decision. What I think, I'll take a sleeping pill, but I won't switch off the life support. I'll just sleep on it. Things always look brighter in the morning. Yeah. Maybe I should say another prayer, ask God to watch over me. You can hardly miss me out here. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake. Or it'd be a lucky break. Ooh, I'm getting a little lightheaded here.
Go to sleep, Billy.
Mama? Is that you, Mama?
Of course it's you. Go to sleep, darling.
Oh, sing to me, Mama. Sing me to sleep.
Rocked by spacemen on your space hull. When asteroids roar, the capsule will rock. When the stars shake, the capsule will fall. Down will come capsule.
Don't.
Please,
no, stop doing that.
Stop doing what?
You know what.
This, you mean?
Yes, stop it.
Let me get it quite clear. This is what you want me to stop doing, right?
Bro, you're dreadful.
Oh, well, you kiss beautifully, Minnie.
Yes. Well, I don't mind kissing, but you never know when to stop. It isn't funny, Sue Bro. I shouldn't be here at all, you know. I'm virtually engaged.
What, to Macho?
Yes, Macho. What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing. Nothing wrong with Macho. Brainless thug guy. He's neither more brainless nor more thug-like than the rest of them. Do you draw the line at kissing with him?
Of course.
Oh, so you have kissed him, then?
Oh, what do you expect? I've told you, we're almost engaged.
Who do you like it best with? Him or me? Me?
Well, it's different. With you, it's all warm and jokey. He kisses with his mouth tight and hard, as if he was angry with someone.
Yes, well, some women like that sort of thing.
Mm. It is rather exciting. Oh, don't look like that. I'm confused enough already. Anyway, I must be going. Really?
Yes. Better get back to Mummy and Daddy before they find out you've been spending the afternoon with. Minnie, how could you? How could you shame us by appearing in public with that... that traitor, that freak, that... What do they call me?
Coward. They call you a coward. I told them you weren't.
Well, that was big of you.
I said you weren't afraid to go up the mountain again. You just thought it was rather silly.
I bet that delighted them. Anyway, you were wrong. I'm afraid to go up again.
Yes, well, everyone's a bit afraid.
And how extremely stupid of them to go.
Oh, Subra.
I love you, Minnie.
I can't think why. I'm so stupid. Don't laugh.
I love you because you're warm and kind. And because you don't pretend emotions you don't feel. And you don't hide the ones you do feel. Because...
because I'm stupid.
Because you have the nicest, roundest, softest bottom on the whole of me, Dad. All right, you have the hardest, hairiest bottom.
Honestly, not believe...
I believe in what I can see and what I can touch, nothing else.
Oh, but that's nonsense.
Not at all.
What about happiness? You can't see happiness.
No, but you can see happy people. If there weren't any happy people, happiness wouldn't have any meaning. Just as if nobody loved anybody, love would have no meaning. When there are no more happy people, there'll be no more happiness. And when there are no more lovers, there'll be no more love.
You don't.
What?
You made me shiver.
Come here. What I can see. What I can touch.
No, stop it.
I suppose I'd better go and have a look. Now, look, you wait here.
No, don't leave me. I'm coming with you.
I've never seen anything like it before.
Why?
Well, then, since it came out of the sky, and since neither of us have seen anything like it before, there seems to be only one logical deduction.
Oh, that's silly.
What?
Well, there are no such things as spaceships.
See? Yesterday, I'd have agreed with you. Today, I see it, so I believe in it. Well, you see it too, Minnie. You still don't believe it.
Well, Subra, I honestly don't think this is the time for a philosophical discussion. But what should we do?
Report it to someone, I suppose. How about your father? It's more or less in his province.
Subra, help me!
Get down behind the bushes.
It's getting out! Oh, it's going to be a monster. I know it is.
Well, moderately normal.
How can you say that? It hasn't got a face.
I think that's some sort of beauty form.
Yes. Listen to the noise it makes. Why is it thrashing about like that?
Perhaps it's in pain.
Zebra! It's taking its head off! Oh.
There. It's there. I breathe it. I can breathe. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for watching over me. Thank you for...
Oh, poor thing.
Oh. Well, I guess it just goes to show. In the darkest hour, you know. There I was, only a few more minutes of oxygen, the Grim Reaper with his hand on my shoulder, and now here I am on another planet. Another planet?
I claim this planet on behalf of the people of Earth and the good old U.S. of A.
I'm afraid it's already spoken for.
Hell.
Welcome to Nader. I'm Zebro, and this is Minnie. There's no need to be frightened.
Well, I'm not frightened. Because you don't exist. I'm still up there in the capsule, hallucinating. The biggest space trip of all time.
I assure you, we're quite real.
Mm. Oh, come on. It's too much. You look so human.
Well, alternatively, you look so Medean.
Yeah? Well, how do you account for that?
It seems probable that life, whenever and wherever it occurs in the universe, has to follow a set pattern.
Uh-huh.
The same gases have to combine to produce the same liquid, and the same single cell life form has to emerge from that liquid. And the process of evolution, give or take one or two minor divergences along the way, has to end up producing something pretty much like you and me.
Okay, I'll buy that.
What did you say your name was?
Oh, sorry, ma'am. Service. William Makepeace Service, Commander U.S. Air Force.
Long names they have where you come from.
Oh, my friends call me Billy, ma'am.
Well, Billy, are you hungry?
Am I hungry? Can you imagine a year up there and the only way to vary your diet is to have the green pills for breakfast instead of the red ones? Still, I mean, I don't want to be rude, but what exactly do you folks eat?
What would you like?
What would I like? What would I like? Well, I tell you what I'd really like. A salt beef sandwich. Great hunks of red beef smeared all over with mustard, crammed between two pieces of rye with a pickle on the side. Oh, my God. I can almost taste it.
Only almost? Yeah.
Actually, that's not very funny, ma'am.
Actually, she isn't trying to be funny.
Eat it. Close your eyes, concentrate on your salt beef or whatever you call it, and eat.
Why do I have to close my eyes?
Well, just to help you concentrate.
It's up to you. Either you're hungry or you're not.
Well, I guess I'll die anyway if I don't eat.
Oh, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm dead, right? If I'm not dreaming, I must be dead.
Is it good?
Is it good? Is it good?
In all my life, I never... Oh, boy. Manny Leibowitz eats her heart out.
I'm reserving my opinion.
Oh, excuse me, ma'am. I was just so darn hungry.
Yes.
What's this?
Dessert.
You mean it can make other things besides salt beef?
Anything you want. What would you like?
Well, I was just thinking. Nah, it would be too much. But when I was a kid, my old grandma, she used to bake this blueberry pie like you've never tasted in your whole life. She died when I was 11, and ever since then, I've dreamed about that pie, because nobody, not even Mama, could ever bake a pie quite like it.
Go on, then. Try it.
Enjoy, enjoy.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I don't believe it. Wow, I can feel the juice trickling down my chin. Holy Moses. What do you call this stuff?
It's called parva.
Parva? Parva.
God, If I could just get a crate load of this stuff back to Earth, I could buy my own spaceship. Yeah, can you imagine? From one end of the country to the other, Parva palaces. Parva, the miracle food. Never mind as much as you want for $5. Anything you want for $5.
I'm not sure you quite understand.
Nah, maybe you're right. I mean, this stuff's unique. Maybe I should go right up market. Exclusive Parva clubs. Annual subscription, members only. Luxurious but tasteful dining rooms. Elegant waiters moving silently across thick carpets. A sheet of card with a menu at the top in Gothic script, and the rest completely blank. With a discreet bow, they hand you a gold-tipped pen.
I think perhaps it's time I put you in the picture.
You see, to save time, it's probably a good idea if I tell you what Sebro is saying. He's telling Billy how, here on the lovely planet Nida, we don't need money for food because the parva grows everywhere. And it's not only delicious, but also contains every vitamin and protein your body could possibly need. And all for shelter, because we build all our own houses with simple but refined skill and easily accessible materials. And all for warmth, because the three suns of the lovely planet Nida ensure that night or day the temperature varies only 2 or 3 degrees one side or the other of absolute perfection. How the air of the lovely planet Nida is so sweet and pure, there's hardly any disease, and what there is swiftly cured. How there are no wars, because, owing to an almost unbelievable piece of biological good fortune, no Nidian couple ever produces more than 2 children, so the population remains constant and there's room for all. Also for another reason, which, as Sebro, for reasons of his own, is keeping a secret from Billy, I shall in all fairness keep a secret from you. How all Nidians live to be 140, at which time they resemble people in their early 50s in your terms of reference. How people on the lovely planet Nida, with a few significant exceptions, die peacefully and painlessly in their sleep.
That's paradise. It's a point of view, certainly. Well, now, what are we going to do about you?
I think you're right. I think we'd better take him home to Daddy.
Yes, that's probably the best thing. Daddy is Minister of Applied Science, very high up in the Nidian establishment. Only 2 or 3 rungs from the very top, in fact.
And really awfully sweet.
And renowned, as Minnie so rightly says, for his sweetness. Only it might be a good idea if you didn't mention meeting me.
Why not?
Well, just... I should let it be known that Minnie was alone when she found you, all right?
Well, okay. Whatever you say.
Matthew, how long are you going to go on doing that?
You might at least let me come and join you.
Love you too. Love you three.
I could get underneath you. Or on top, even. That could really turn you off.
Shut up, Nadina.
Oh, are you getting angry? Would you like to be?
No, I wouldn't. I'm busy.
Darling.
You've made me lose count.
Well, you'll have to start from one again, won't you?
There was a time when you enjoyed watching me do press-ups.
There was a time when I enjoyed holding hands in the moonlight. But simple pleasures lose their charms all too swiftly. Not that my palate has been in any danger of becoming jaded lately.
I'm in training.
My God, is this going on for another 3 weeks?
You do want me to win again, don't you, Libida? Or have you got tired of the best seats at the theatre? The highest place at the table, the envious bitchy glances, and all the other spicy little pleasures that go with being the champion's woman?
I thought I was going to have to do without them anyway.
What are you talking about?
Where are you going tonight?
You know perfectly well I'm dining at the Robex.
I'm not invited.
It's business.
Oh, of course, naturally. He wants to pick that marvellous brain of yours to help him over a particularly naughty scientific problem.
Just shut up, would you?
Just as you like. Still, I would have thought if this was the night you're going to solemnize your engagement to that jardy-eyed little pudding, I might at least have been considered an interested party. You really think I'm an idiot, don't you?
I was going to tell you.
Darling, of course you were. The minute you got back from the honeymoon. Oh, it's all right, you know. I don't mind.
You don't?
Of course not. We all have to make our way in the world. You and I have only one asset.
our body. Admittedly, we have slightly different ways of capitalizing on them.
And nobody can stay champion forever.
So what are you going to fall back on when all those lovely muscles start running to flab? Certainly not your brain.
Thank you.
Thus, married to the daughter of the Minister of Science, halfway up the political ladder at one jump.
Wherever I go, I'll take you with me.
Don't write it as a marriage contract, are you?
You just have to be discreet, that's all.
Possibly. I might have other plans.
What? What do you mean? What other plans?
Darling, perhaps you're right. Perhaps you'd better get into training. You seem to have so much riding on this particular competition.
You would, wouldn't you? If I lost. At that door so fast your feet wouldn't touch the ground.
Matthew, how can you say that? You know perfectly well I'd comfort you and pat your little hand and let you cry your eyes out on my bosom.
Utter bitch.
Mm. But everybody says what a perfect couple we made.
My boy.
Sir.
My boy.
Sir.
I don't quite know what to say.
Well, I guess I'm a bit stuck for a meaningful phrase myself, sir.
Though it is possible. Smith Strapple is really possible.
I guess so.
Well, well. Oh, we worked it out in theory, of course, some 100 years or so back. But it's so nice to have practical confirmation.
Well, how come you never did it yourself, sir?
Ah, well, no offense intended, but we could never quite justify all that risk and expense for something that, apart from providing an interesting intellectual challenge, didn't really seem to have another point to it. Yeah, but tell me, how long can you stay? I imagine you have a fairly lengthy itinerary.
No, sir. You don't understand. My ship's a write-off. I can't go anywhere.
My boy, how dreadful.
Oh, your poor mother.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, but how lucky you landed safely. And how lucky our Minnie was there to find you. Weren't you frightened, Minnie?
A bit at first.
Of course you were.
Well, my boy, you're welcome to stay here for as long as you want. As long as you want.
And you couldn't be in better hands. My husband is one of the most influential men on the planet. No. We know everyone. Well, everyone who matters.
Well, that's real nice of both of you.
It will be an honor for us, I assure you.
Oh, Rebecca, dear, just one thing. Nacho.
Matthew?
Coming to Parva this evening. You've forgotten in all the excitement.
Oh, quite. Perhaps under the circumstances.
Oh, please. Any friend of yours is bound to be a friend of mine. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Tell me, Billy, what is this blueberry pie you're so fond of?
Well, ma'am, I guess it's what you'd call a sort of pie filled with blueberries.
How interesting.
Such a pity one can't convey the essence of a taste in words. Then we could all join you.
What I don't understand, if you all eat parva all the time, how do you make a taste of anything? I mean, if you've never eaten anything else.
Ah, but we used to grow all sorts of different foods there. 1,357 varieties, to be exact.
Oh.
And now the essence of all these foods, distilled in liquid form, is kept on file at the Institute of Science. Now, as part of their education, every young Indian visits it once a week to add two or three new items to his parva repertoire.
I see.
What about this other stuff, this salt beef?
Well, that's just beef, really, from a cow, you know.
A cow? No. Something else we haven't got.
Yeah, of course, the point is, we may very well have all these things under different names. Billy, I'll take you round the botanical gardens. Perhaps you'll see some cow growing there.
Well, actually, sir, it's an animal.
You eat animals?
Actually, you know, there's some pretty reliable evidence that that sort of thing was practiced on this planet once upon a time.
Oh, bother, that's just an old wives' tale to frighten the children.
I've never mentioned it in front of you before, but you're old enough to know now. And as Macho is practically one of the family, there's a small room at the very top of the Institute. The children are never allowed anywhere near it, and it's always kept locked. Only four of us have the keys. No one but the most serious of students is permitted over the threshold. Some of the tastes are in there.
Father, you haven't!
Surely in the interests of historical research.
I think it's disgusting.
No, actually, you know, meat is very good for you. Full of protein. Builds up the muscles.
Ah! Sounds like your line of country, Macho.
Yes, indeed, sir.
Macho is our resident hero, you know. Oh. Won the quiz 3 years running. Isn't that right, Macho?
Oh, I was just lucky, sir.
No, nonsense. Heroes make their own luck. Don't they, Minnie?
I don't really know much about it.
I'm afraid your daughter doesn't share your admiration for my achievements, sir.
Yeah, of course she does. She's just a bit shy.
What? This quest, sir, what is it exactly?
Ah, oh, well...
Speaking of the quest, excuse me interrupting, but have you seen this?
Oh, no. Mara, look at this. This time he really has gone too far.
Oh, his poor mother.
No, I must say, I thought it was a bit much.
A bit much? Oh, it's nothing you worry about, Billy. It's the handiwork of a rather pathetic specimen named Seabro.
Seabro? Well, but I thought he seemed kind of nice.
Minnie?
We weren't doing anything.
I should think not, indeed.
I was just walking and he happened to be there.
Idiot.
Sorry.
Minnie, go to your room this instant.
Well, why should I? I'm old enough to choose my own friends.
If you're not concerned for your own reputation, you might at least consider your mother's and mine. Now go to your room. At once.
Oh, I think you're all faithful.
What that girl needs is a good session in the think box.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to...
No, not at all. It's me who should apologize.
It's not my place to say it, sir, but I think perhaps you've been a little too soft with Minnie.
Possibly. Only daughter, you know.
Well, she's a good girl. Just easily led.
She needs a strong man to take her in hand.
Tell me, this guy Seabro, what is it with him? Like I say, he seemed pretty straight to me. Mind you, I... really didn't see that much of him.
He's a misfit.
Troublemaker.
A freak.
Really? Yeah. Well, I guess he did seem a little weird at that. Only goes to show.
Impressive, don't you think, Billy?
Sir?
The council chamber. Do you have anything comparable on your own planet?
Well, I guess it's a little small compared to what I'm used to, sir.
Small? It's the largest building on Nada. My fellow ministers.
Now then, Rebecca, what's all this thing? Are you trying to pull our legs?
No leg pull, I assure you, Mommas. Billy, may I present Mommas Madge, Supreme Minister of Nada. Mommas, this is William Nigby Service of the planet Earth.
Well, it's not that I want to doubt your word, Rebecca.
Oh, of course not, of course not.
But do you have any evidence to substantiate this rather remarkable assertion?
Really, is my evidence.
Well, yes.
He looks remarkably Nadean to me.
The vital statistics of every Nadean ever born are on file at the relevant ministry. If you care to check him out.
Oh. Well, then, what can I say but welcome to Nada.
Tell
me, what do you think of our little plan?
Well, sir...
He thinks it's very little.
Now, that's not fair, sir. I mean, from what I've seen, your scientific developments are truly remarkable. And your culture, too, I guess. But if you don't mind me saying so, industrially, you're third world.
Third world? Well, this is all a little confusing.
No, what I mean, sir, you have all this amazing technological knowledge, but well, you don't seem to put it to any meaningful commercial use. Well, for one thing, you walk everywhere.
Yes. You think we should run, is that it?
No, sir. But on my planet, we have these things called cars. Machines on wheels that you step into and they move along under their own power.
Ah, you mean automotive.
Oh, it's another little idea we worked out in theory 100 years ago.
The point is, Billy, we decided that if we produced this machine, then everybody would want to have one. Well, can you imagine... a whole planet crisscrossed with huge lumps of metal whizzing this way and that at enormous speed.
Can you imagine the consequences if two of them were to collide with one another?
Naturally, I don't want to seem critical. And obviously nothing untoward has occurred on your planet as yet. But I'm afraid we consider it a very real possibility.
Well, you could be right, sir.
Still not to worry. Now tell me, is there anything else about Nada that puzzles you?
Well,
Well, sir, there's this quest I keep hearing about.
Ah, yes, the quest.
Well, Momus, excuse me interrupting, Billy, but you've just reminded me. Momus, I think you ought to see this.
Seabrand's challenge. I know all about that.
Challenge? What challenge? What's that little worm been up to now?
He wants me to call a grand debate and dispute with him the validity of the quest.
Oh, the impertinence. That boy needs to be locked into a think box and left there until he's seen the error of his ways.
Oh, do you think so? Personally, I'm half inclined to accept.
Momus, you can't be serious.
Why? You think I'd lose?
No, of course not. That's not the point. But he'd have got what he wanted. Intellectual respectability for his cowardice.
Tell me, Billy, are you much troubled by subversive elements where you come from?
Oh, hell yes. The woods are full of them.
And how do you go about dealing with them?
Well, sir, the way we look at it, freedom of speech is a God-given right of every American.
Quite.
But if he abuses that freedom and goes around upsetting everyone, I guess he shows he wasn't really entitled to it in the first place.
A very sensible way of looking at it.
Yes, you may be right. I shall have to think about it.
Pity about Seabrook. Great pity.
I guess there's a rotten apple in every barrel.
It's a bright young man. We all had high hopes of him. Until his first quest, of course.
Tell me, sir, what exactly...
Oh, look. There's Macho.
Oh, yeah. Hey, who's that lady with him?
What's more to the point, why is the lady with him? Good morning, Macho.
Good morning, Robate.
Yeah, I've just been presenting our young friend to the council.
Oh, yes.
Libida, my dear. I don't think you've had the pleasure of meeting Billy, and have you?
Are you the spaceman?
I guess so, ma'am.
You must be very brave.
Macho, I wonder if I could have a quick word with you.
Well, actually, we
were just... take a minute. What's all this? I thought it was clearly understood that you were to break with the leader.
Oh, I intend to, sir. I promise you. But I'm sure you appreciate these things have to be done tactfully. I've already begun to lay the groundwork.
I think I don't understand your reluctance. Oh, and is it true that you...
Yes. Oh, yes, sir, always.
Extraordinary.
Well, not only that, she... Probably.
Really? I wouldn't have thought that was possible.
Oh, it is if you, Mr. Paul.
By the beast. However, that's neither here nor there. But you know what I mean. What concerns me is the future.
You're young to do such a great adventure.
Well, ma'am, you have to be pretty young, you know. It's very important to be strong and healthy.
Yes, you look healthy. Tell me, does everyone on your planet have such deep blue eyes?
Well, it's a family trait, ma'am. All the services have blue eyes. Pure British stock, originally.
How interesting.
Ma'am, are you related to Mr. Macho in some way?
I'm his mistress.
Oh, right.
For the moment, anyway. It's rather a loose arrangement.
Oh. Tell me, ma'am.
Libida.
Libida, right. Libida, this quest I keep hearing about.
Oh, yes. That's just the sort of thing that would interest a man like you. Are you going to enter?
Well, I don't exactly know.
Oh, do, please. I like winners, Billy. And you look like a winner to me.
Billy? I'm your aunt.
Billy, I'd like to see you again, alone. And then you can tell me all about your planning.
Sure, but where? When?
I'll let you know.
I think the minister is anxious to get home.
Oh, right. Well, see you then. Goodbye, Libida.
Goodbye, Billy.
What were you whispering to him about?
I was just asking him what it's like, where he comes from.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have any interesting customs? Any different ways of doing things?
Bitch.
Oh, Minnie, there you are. I've been looking for you everywhere.
Have you?
I wanted to apologize for last night. I didn't mean to get you into trouble.
It wasn't your fault, I suppose.
Your father's right, though, you know. You really oughtn't to hang around with that guy, Seabro.
You liked him well enough yesterday.
Yeah. Well, that was before I found out the kind of troublemaker he was.
He's not a troublemaker.
What was that?
Goodness, listeners. Someone's thrown a stone through the window. How fortunate we don't have glass on the lovely planet, Nader.
What is it, some kind of demo?
There seems to be a note wrapped round it.
Do they always deliver the mail that way?
seems to be addressed to you. Well, you certainly must make friends quickly.
Oh, I think I know who it's from. Meet me at the western corner of the woods in an hour. Come alone.
Wow.
I have to go out for a while.
Would you like me to show you the way?
No. No, that's okay.
Lupita! Lupita! Lupita, is that you?
Over here.
Oh. It's you, is it?
Why are you calling Lupita?
Well, she sent me a note to meet her here.
I sent you that note.
You? Now, listen, buddy, I don't know what you had in mind.
I see they've already managed to turn you against me.
Look, Fran, nobody did any turning. I make my own decisions.
And what have you decided?
I've decided since everyone I meet seems to think you're some kind of a weirdo, there must be something in it.
I envy you your objectivity.
Listen, Fran, that's democracy. Something guys like you never understand.
I have a distinct feeling I'm wasting my time.
Probably. What was it you wanted, anyway?
I was hoping for your help.
Help?
In opposing this ridiculous quest.
No, you got the wrong man, buddy.
You mean you don't think it's ridiculous?
No, I don't. And in what way do you think it's ridiculous?
Isn't it obvious?
Well, yeah, but just go through it in detail and point out the ridiculous bits.
You don't know what it is, do you? Do you?
Okay, so tell me about it.
Here on the lovely planet Nadir, all seems warm, temperate, hospitable. A lush paradise where man can live forever at one with nature and his fellow beings. But there is, Billy, there is, tucked away to the far north, an area as cruel and hostile, as savage as the rest of the planet is kindly. 60 miles of arid desert, where not so much as a stream trickles. And at the far side, a thick, vicious jungle that man can only crawl through on torn hands and bleeding knees. And at the very center of this jungle, the sacred Mount of Nadir, rearing its cold, implacable face 5,000 feet to the sky. Every year, the men of Nadir, who have passed their 18th birthday and not arrived at their 28th, join together in a great, cruel race to the mountaintop, to the lair of the mystic beast, a fabled creature that dwells deep in a cave, the topmost peak. A beast that no one has ever seen, except as a flash of purple and silver, moving at the corner of your eye.
Then how do you know it exists?
That leaves evidence. The beast is a fastidious creature, always emerging from the deep womb of its cave to void its bowels upon the mountaintop. This dung, these droppings dry in the cold air, attaining the color and consistency of liquid gold. The beast seems to be abstemious as well as fastidious. For each year, the droppings amount to no more than will fill a moderately large leather pouch. First man on the mountaintop fills his pouch, fights his way back down the face of the mountain, through the jungle, across the desert, and drops his prize at the feet of his lady love.
You mean that's what this quest is all about? A pile of dung?
When I was 18, I went into the quest myself automatically. I struggled for the prize with the best of them. I managed to limp home an honorable fifth. But my two closest friends weren't so lucky. They didn't come back at all.
You mean people get killed?
Every year, out of the 400 entrants, between 15 and 20 never return. And as many again are crippled for life.
Holy Hannah! And I called you a weirdo. I mean, I don't like to criticize other people's customs, but... This is crazy.
Exactly. That's where I need your help.
Sure, but I don't see what I could do.
I've challenged Momus to debate the quest in open forum. I have that right, but he has the right to refuse. I want you to use your influence to make sure that he doesn't refuse.
I don't have any influence.
You're a visitor, a guest who wants to impress you. I must have a debate, you see, because the winner is decided by secret ballot. That means that all the people who agree with me, but who are too frightened to say so, will finally get a chance to make their point.
I'll do what I can.
Thank you.
Hey, tell me one thing.
Hmm?
You say the guy who gets back with this, this dung gives it to his girlfriend. What the hell does she do with it?
Mixed with the correct oils, The dung of the mystic beast produces a striking and indelible paint for the adorning of the human body.
Huh?
It is highly sought after by the women of Nada.
I hope you won't be disappointed, Billy.
Well, I'm sure I won't, sir. It looks very exciting. I'm not quite sure of the function of the orchestra, though.
Don't they make use of orchestras on these occasions on your plan?
Well, I mean, if there's some kind of ceremonial first.
All will be made clear. Ah, here's Mommet in full regalia.
Good day, Rebeck.
Good day, young man. I hope we're going to put on a good show for you.
Well, it was real nice of you to stage this debate for my benefit, sir.
Well, to be honest, it's not entirely for your benefit. It gives me a chance to put Sebro in his place, while at the same time making sure that no one takes the motion too seriously.
Your author, get over here.
Now, I hear that Sebro has been complaining that he can't get a composer to touch his case. He's had to cobble something together himself. No doubt it'll be dreadful.
What a pity. I could have easily lent him a stage composer. We want a fair fight, after all.
If he'd had any case at all, he could have found his own composer. Oh, we'd better take our places now.
All right. You can let them in now.
Just a moment. Well, Sebro, we can hardly start without the challenger.
Ah, Sebro. We were wondering if you thought better of it.
Rebeck, I want to ask for an hour's postponement. I've only just finished my composition.
It's out of the question.
But that's not fair. I haven't had time to rehearse the orchestra.
The orchestra doesn't need rehearsal. They can sight read music 10 times more complicated than yours is likely to be. Give your sword to the conductor and let's get
I wish the lodger form will complain.
Noted, noted. Right, let them in.